Head on board the shuttle. Indeed, it is remotely piloted, but there's a spacious room here for six occupants. There are places to hang your gear, maybe depressurize as the ship pressurizes once it takes off. And then as you sit down and strap yourself in, there's pop-out compartments along the walls. Basically two for each of you, and they have food and drink fit for a film star. There's Castravalian fine chocolates, Polonian pastries, good Yoxian brandy, sweet and salty pickled grubs, Yoxian milk cocktails, of course, everything in some delightful packaging. But it looks like it is fresh, but maybe a little plastic packaging to keep it from getting stale here in the shuttle ship. You guys are partaking?
Well, wait. If this is supposed to be like a movie star treatment, are there space drugs? Complimentary space drugs?
Hold on. Let me see how chill they think you are. Oh, yeah, there's space drugs, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
Is there a space hot tub?
No. This is a short shuttle trip, Drew.
My skin is so dry.
I mean, you guys have had like some airplane rations the last few days, and that's about it. So,
Lacardus will ask Bruce if I'm allowed to. Am I allowed to have space drugs?
Oh no!
Lacardus,
that would immediately violate your parole.
Lacardus sits down to do the space drugs, and then Bruce flaps about it, and he gets upset.
You just hear like Hathion just doing rips.
Yeah, I come over, I'm like, Lacardus, you don't want any of this. And I go sit down with Hathion.
It's so bad for you.
I'm gonna make sure that
you think you hear just a dog and cat sniffing around. Like,
I'm just gonna
but really.
I'm gonna make sure this line's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you guys make me a perception check as you get comfy?
I can tell you right now, if I haven't done that, I ain't perceiving shit.
Man, once I took all these drugs, I couldn't smell the bitch anymore. I'm all clogged up on that now.
Good. Excellent. All failures here. Excellent. So you guys partaking, enjoying a little brandy, a little fine finger foods.
Fine hootenanny.
Yep. It feels like... too good. The food feels like it would be perfect.
You should eat the food. Oh boy.
Well, no, it feels, you know, like indeed you're at a 5-star restaurant.
Yeah, on a non-dead planet, Patrick.
Well, I'm talking mostly about the food. Yeah, it does seem like this is.
I am too.
one of the best meals you've had in quite some time here. Yeah, everything seems to be at an arm's length for you to enjoy, but not too long. It is a very comfortable and relaxing 30-minute shuttle flight that has you land on a strip of tarmac in the middle of a vast dry seabed. The doors to the shuttle open are up, and there's a skeletal attendant who kind of ushers you to a airlocked bunker where an elevator takes you to the bottom of a very deep shaft, and you disembark into a very cavernous underground facility built of metal and stone, pale green lights.
This is not a chill place to go after you get into drugs. I'm regretting. I should have just eaten the hot dogs.
I really want there to be a moment where, like, they go back to get Hathion and Zeldin, and they just see them in bathrobes and sunglasses and, like, dozens of opened chip bags, but like one chip has been taken from each one.
You're like, there's this massive cavernous production studio. This is the halls of the living and the filming sets of an actor's residencies. It's like a studio lot for Zoe Media Productions. And then Hithyun is over in the corner, like staring at a paper towel dispenser, like, oh my god, no, it's no, amazing. Yeah,
just pawing it, like you would see like a cat paw like a ball of yarn or something. It's just pawing it. Just
just taking a paper towel like every few seconds.
Y'all, I think this is six ply.
This is
that's exactly right. Gotta say the
paper towels are made of cotton. It's all made of cotton.
Ain't no litter boxes on Eox.
Indeed, the air down here is sheltered and smells like someone's baking cookies. It's real nice. Real nice and cozy. But yeah, as soon as you step off and move forward, there's production assistants and what look like some lower executives that come up and dote on you, ask about your trip, greet you and welcome you indeed to Zoe Media Productions. The skeleton in the suit kind of leads you down a dizzying array of escalators and walkways through tunnels, unlocking doors with key cards, various green, yellow, and red key cards as you head deeper into the bowels, walking past identical prefab homes in one corridor and what looks like little Quonset huts in another level, lower level of New Atraskia here. And indeed, as you continue marching down the hallways here, it eventually opens up into what looks like a residential hub of shops and eateries, a suburban street almost, centered around a lush indoor park. There's some larger, luxurious homes on this level of the subterranean city here. And yeah, luxurious streets. Maybe there's some side streets where you see some wacky colors, some walls covered in what looks like Banksy style expensive graffiti. And you're ushered into a boardroom where there's hundreds and hundreds of papers and undead Eoxian lawyers here ready to talk to you about signing on the dotted line. As you are full of delicious food and drugs and alcohol and getting the star treatment maybe for the first time in some of your lives, you feel a great deal of accomplishment. No longer are you running from undead hordes and corpse fleets and zolats out in the wastelands, but you are I don't even remember what your guys' main quest was. You're now superstars. And
we also don't remember what our main quest was.
Yes, we do. We are trying to find a living Librium. Like
that's now side quest.
Yeah, I'm trying to get syndication. I'm trying to get syndication over here.
Yeah. Ooh, the greed runs deep in this podcast.
You get tons of presents of silk jammies and other gift baskets of Castravellian fruits that are applied to you. As you feel this deep, deep sense of accomplishment for really just rolling the dice and being lucky and becoming famous, you guys all level up to level 3.
Woo-dee-hoo!
Woo-woo! And we are going to start a chapter 3.
Yay!
Chapter 3 of Guild of the Grave World is Halls of the Living. You made it here, folks.
We did it.
Woo, woo. Yep, that's it. That's all.
End of show.
End of episode.
The show is over.
Stop the recording.
Rebecca Tavra reminds me, probably because a new season's coming out, but it reminds me of the Kaiman from Doro Hey Doro. If you know.
None of the words you just said mean anything to me.
You don't know what a hymen is?
Oh, geez, Kaiman. Rebecca. Oh my god, Jesus. C-A-I.
She knows what it means. It just means nothing to her.
From Dodle the Doodle?
Is Dodle the Doodle. Yep, Dodle the Doodle. That's,
yeah.
No, it's Doro Hey Doro.
Dan Day Dan.
not Dun Dun Dun.
Dan to Dan? It's
not. No. Don Dadan and Doro Hey Doro are two
Dan
different.
They're very different. Dan.
It's pronounced Dan the Day, the Dan the Dan Dan, the Bang the Bang the Bang the Dan.
You know Dan to Dan?
Man.
I know
yeah, that's it sucks Doro that Doro we weren't recording any of this. Yeah,
I'll send you something. I'll send it to you.
Premium it's content.
It's recorded.
All right, let's hit it. You are recording, Drew?
Yes. Got the whole doodly-doo conversation.
Johnny on the spot. Part 3 of this adventure. begins with you, your characters, you all in private rooms, waking up to what looks like a quirky's 1970s style private home. Very retro. Simulated lights begin to shine in the corners of these drawn window televisions. You hear artificial bird sounds and then very extremely hard to miss sounds of scents being pumped into your rooms. Just multiple times you get artificial scents of cut grass, apple pie, potpourri. What else is suburban neighborhood smells?
Kelp. There's usually a pretty good kelp smell.
Grass.
I don't know what that means.
Freedom.
Drew, kelp is just grass.
We don't call it's it
pretty
that.
Much the same thing.
We don't call it that. I'm sorry.
The kelp is always bluer on the other side of the trench.
We got honeysuckle.
The simulation of suburban life does not end there, though, because as you open up your doors, you see right outside a little metal cloche on a wooden tray, and next to it, a folded and printed out plasti newspaper on little laminated sheets. The latest edition of the Absalom Station News Report. How quaint. In physical format, you get to read the newspaper. You guys are feeling very well rested. Definitely the best rest you've had in days, not sleeping in undead Zolot farmers' barns or the ruins of some ancient Zephyrus Prince's kind of tower building. I forget where else you slept. I think it was just two sleeps. So, best sleep you've had in 3 days. And upon your characters waking up here in the Halls of the Living, last week I said you guys leveled up to level 3, which is super exciting. First level 3 of Starfinder 2E, right?
Ooh.
Do we play any high level characters? Maybe. But let's go around to start this week's episode. Talk about what you guys got at level 3. Anything fun? Anybody want to jump in? I guess you don't have to say something if you don't want to. That's always. I'm not going to make you. This isn't an Inquisition. But if you are excited, go right ahead.
I'll go.
Yeah, Becca seems very excited.
Okay, so as a champion, I got Blessed Armament. I had a choice of like a couple of different things, but I chose Blessed Armament, which gives me the critical specialization effect of my Doshko is what I chose, but also gives me a rune, and I can change the rune around, but I realized in putting this on my sheet that Vitalizing is one of the choices, which is against undead, so yay!
Nice.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, what does the other ability do? It's critical for your Doshko?
Critical specialization effect, yeah. So axe, you know, specialization right. effect. So it's sort of a cleave situation.
Yes. Cool. Drew, you got something for Ulithal?
Yeah, I got a second level spells. So that's fun.
Oh!
Yeah.
What do you want to reveal what you've picked? Or is this like a wait and see?
Undead creatures are full of liquids, right?
Often not, actually.
You're crap. Like
dry bones.
Oops. Well, oh well.
I mean, sometimes they're like gooey, but sometimes they have a
gooey core. We'll still be able to translate stuff, so we can translate.
Oh, okay. That will probably come in handy. What about you other three?
Let's see. Yeah, I got the new level of spells, which is exciting. I like that Soul Surge so much, I decided to put it on my spell list. So.
Oh!
And also, I picked up a feat that will make us not be cheating anymore because I forgot that we're supposed to take a whole hour in between. Or, I mean, maybe we have been doing this, but we take a whole hour between every time we want to make a medicine check on somebody.
Yep.
I guess we have been doing that.
Yeah, it takes 10 minutes to make a roll, but then you're pretty much immune to it for a while.
So I took continual recovery so I can keep making those medicine checks on people. So
we don't have
to sit around for like 8 hours every time we want to heal.
Yes, that will probably save you some time next dungeon crawl. Or Carl, Miles, or Tyler, what do you guys?
Level 3 is super boring for me. Like, I get some like minor...
For Solarian?
Yeah, all I get is Stellar Resistance, which allows me to tune as a free action if I roll a success against a fortitude or will save against a mental or incapacitation effect. I get a skill increase, which I can choose to be trained in one skill or another, or choose to be an expert or the next level of a skill that I'm already trained in, or I get a general feat. So, like, there's not a whole lot going on. It's, like, some general, like, bumps, but nothing crazy.
Stellar Resistance is... No, it's very good. Whenever you roll a success on a fortitude or will save against incapacitation, oh no, you can attune as a free action. Nope, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I guess, like, if you get, oh, I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't even know why that's even a thing.
I guess if,
like, does being attuned help me when I'm just out and about?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine if you get hit by a trap or something that you save against, it might be. Nice.
La-di-da. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine once you get more abilities that go along with your attunement, that'll probably be a little bit better. Yeah, but yeah, you got
thanks for the pat in the back there, buddy.
Skill increase, general feat that probably everyone else also got. Tyler, what about Operative, our other Starfinder class? We only got two.
You just don't want to... I mean, my reflex and will saves are just untouchable at this point.
At level 3, they're untouchable?
Untouchable. You cannot touch. Normal success is uplifted to critical success for those two skills. So,
God, both of them.
Both. So, all right, so yeah,
fortitude save, poisons, radiation, got it.
Don't
do it. Thank you.
Yes.
For telling me your own weakness.
Hammer down on that, on the fortitude side of things, and you'll be just fine.
That's pretty good. For both of them, it seems odd. It seems like you usually get one or other.
I had to I read it multiple times because I was just like, when you roll a success on a reflex or save,
or will,
you get a critical success instead. It does have to be, I will say, it does have to be, it says against your mark.
So you have to be focused in on that person. But yeah, I mean, if you're fighting like one boss, it's like bingo bango.
Yeah, exactly. Which
pretty useful.
It's one of those things where, like, I know it's a little thing, but because it says when you roll blah 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 against your mark, and in the aim ability it says you take careful aim at a single creature designated as your mark. But I'm like, why can't you just say when you roll a success again on a reflex or a save against the creature you've aimed at. I wish it was, like that, but, you know, whatever.
Thank you for grinding the podcast to a halt, Tyler, for that. Hopefully,
digging in my brain. Otherwise, at level, three,
folks at Paizo are listening right now to the most boring part of this episode.
You got to use your platform to address the things that bother you the most. And this is all I have in life.
Oh God, there are tears of boredom coming out of my eyes.
Other than that, everything else at this level is, the skill increase, the general feat, nothing interesting.
Yeah, no. You, I was cutting you off there. That was me cutting you off, Tyler. No more.
No, thank you.
Well, you get to talk some more because I'll go to you maybe first. But the next part of this breakfast meal, your character, the night before, got to request what their perfect breakfast would be. And the Yoxian chefs here is whipping it up for you. So what is under your character's perfect breakfast food meal, and they all have to be different.
You can't repeat
anything that's been said. So who wants to go?
I'll go first.
Yes, Tavra.
Extra crunchy scorpions with black milk.
Disgusting.
Delicious.
Perfect, but disgusting. Oh. What color are they? Also black scorpions? Is that what you said?
It's a mixture of black and red. I like some variety in my cereal.
You just smile at everyone else when you come downstairs and it looks like you've been smearing Oreos on your teeth.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Well, nobody else can say scorpion. Sorry, Rebecca stole that one out from under you. Who's next? Or your character?
Big old slab of raw meat. big old slab of raw meat. That's what I have for breakfast.
And never a sock.
Have a name, Mr. Burt.
That's what I call him. Big old slabby. Captain Slabbins is his name.
You open your cloche and Thayun's foot is under there. He's like, oh, how'd that get in there? Whoa. Big slab of raw meat sounds delicious. Is your character like sniffing the air? It's like, oh, they cooked it just how I wanted. Not at all.
It's perfect.
Okay, all right. Well, nobody can say scorpions or raw meat now. Sorry, guys. Really taking all the classics here. Miles, what's Italian breakfast? I know what I think it is, but that's probably okay. What Miles.
What do you think it is?
I can't tell you until you say.
Well, Hethion's breakfast will probably be an eggs royale, which is essentially a salmon eggs benedict with some bacon that's just slightly right below crispy, and perhaps a nice cold glass of milk to top it all off.
Oh, I was thinking it was Captain Scrunch.
I have two cats at home that would absolutely make them yak all over the floor, probably on the rug.
Well, we'll see what happens later on in this episode. Tune in and find out.
Drew, what kind of weird dried colored flakes does your character eat?
Yeah, he loves flakes. He loves the
oh my gosh, three different colors.
I'm in heaven. The sort of reddish brown flake is probably his favorite. No, I feel like he probably likes a good, you know, there's a breakfast fish on Kaelin Mahoy that he likes. Maybe a kelp salad, a little kelp salad.
Gross. Boring and gross. All right, Tyler, bring it on home. What's your Lacardus?
Do you know those like meal replacement smoothies? Just one of those. But the flavor of that smoothie would be
great.
Vanilla. Lacardus, he's kind of boring. I don't know.
Bruce comes out and is like, drink slowly, sir. You wouldn't want to enjoy that too much, too fast.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that, like, when they introduce strawberry milk, he's like, whoa, 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 slow down.
Regular milk's so spicy.
When you just when there are too many flavors, you just kind of get lost, you know.
Yeah, so the next thing we got to go through here is you got a brand spanking, freshly laser printed version of the Absalom Station news sheets beamed over from Absalom Station, printed out for you guys. I have another number of articles here if you guys would like to take a look at them. But the main one, the main thing on the front page here is an article by Glatch Foul Play that reads, Newborn's Emergence, the Cause of Magical Disturbances. It reads, since the destruction of Octurn and the so-called birth of the entity many have dubbed the newborn, several unexplained magical disturbances have been reported upon Absalom Station and in the further packed system. From the sudden appearance of self-replicating mechanical rats to the strange fluctuations and the colloquially named ghost levels of Absalom Station spikes, these disturbances have been as varied as they are dangerous in these last few months. This reporter, I'm skipping along here, but I'll give you the whole thing. This reporter is looking for more tips regarding the strange phenomenon, whether it is indeed tied to the celestial catastrophe. If you've got a story, then contact the Absalom Station News Desk and let's solve the mystery of these magical disturbances together. Who wants to read an article next? I'll throw it in the chat for you guys to...
I think Hethion would.
Voice. I got a good one for Miles and probably the one that might catch your eye.
All right. The classifieds.
No, it is
missing the funniest. That's me.
What is Beetle Bailey up to now? Is that the comic strip even running anymore?
I was thinking about it just the other day as a punchline to a joke, you know, like trying to think of like what's like a really bad comic strip. No, this article is by Porvo Kim Neen. And it's Zoe Media Productions to celebrate 300th anniversary.
Oh.
Here you go. You can read it aloud. It's in the...
Oh, all right. Zoe Media Productions to celebrate 300th anniversary. The planet of Eox has seen new life this year as the planet's largest pop culture institution is looking to kick off months of specialty programming in celebration of the network's 300th anniversary. While star-studded appearances from all over the pact are expected, the buzz around the Undead studio is that several brand new seasons of some of the most classic programs will be produced once more. Several new movies are also planned for the release over the course of the year, with some studio executives saying that they wanted to remake such classics as Not Without My Skin and Mr. Bones Saves Christmas.
Classic. You know, I liked Mr. Bones Goes to Camp, but...
A Yule Doesn't Go By. I love that you were doing the Ernest thing. That I don't watch Mr. Bones Saves Christmas.
I think I wrote Christmas on there, but...
Oh, you did, actually.
I wrote these maybe a year ago when I was, like, prepping for this campaign. So, you know, there might be all kinds of So Saw We Ball kind of errors in here. So, good luck. Good luck. Who wants to read?
I'll go.
Yeah. Make fun of me for saying So Saw We Ball. I dare you, Drew. I dare you.
Patrick, right. I need you to understand that I said So Saw We Ball at work one day.
And people rightly thought you were having a stroke.
Like, I've always loved So Saw We Ball. I will never make fun of So Saw We Ball.
I mean, it is, I think, one of our crowning moments. Because that was a Rebecca original, right?
No,
that was Patrick. That was Patrick.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm sorry. That's So Saw We Ball. I'm thinking of Pangle Wangle.
Wangle. Is that me?
That was early on. Yeah. Yeah, Pangle Wangle. Because that, for whatever reason, like that first season, we were just on one. We had so many things.
Wait,
that was
a Skidermander thing, right?
Yes, it was a Christmas. Yeah.
That was me.
Because you were just like, he asked you to come up with something, and you just went, Pangle Wangle.
What's your
Skidermander?
The Skidermander catchphrase.
Catchphrase is great. Pangle Wangle is great. We should do like an entire series at some point where everyone is a Skidermander except one person.
Be like a Muppets
movie. It'd be like the most serious person and everyone else.
Yeah, play it like Michael Caine in Muppet Christmas Carol, right?
Yes.
All right, Drew, you're all set here. You've got... Well, you could read the article title as well.
Primex Zat Cantle cuts ribbon on reopened Jetembe Park by Zirsat Kasolshek.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah. A multi-year construction project has finally come to an end as old Jetembe Park's revitalization project has been completed as of last week. Primex Cantle and several station solicitors and members of the Starfinder Historians Collective were on hand for the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Readers may recall that much of Absalom Station was destroyed in the Civ Siege, and our beloved park was not spared in that destruction either. After the ceremony, families and citizens from all over the Pact celebrated with a free concert by recording artists Neon and Noqual, and food vendors from all over the system. Local artists and tradespeople had an open market as well. All told, attendance was said to be over 70,000 throughout the day, as traffic in the recently renovated docking bays strained to keep up with the traffic of departing starships. Former First Seeker of the Starfinder Society, Loise Elsebo, was on hand as keynote speaker and to promote her new book, Ancient Magics of Old Galarian. Elsebo was also noted as saying that, quote, spirits of trees from the old planet still carried the essence of the ancient magic ley lines of Galarian, and noted how festivals such as this helped to cement pacts made millennia ago with the protectors of the forest.
That one seemed Ulithal-centric. That would probably be of interest to your character. All right, who's next? Some of these, I'm realizing, are longer than others.
I'll read this news.
Oh, what boring old newspaper! You got a fun short one, shortish one. No, this one's long as heck, long as a mother.
A human torch was denied a bank loan. The leaders in the Patra's homeworld of Polonus have had a tumultuous 18 months since their World One independence from the Vescarium in a series of pitched battles and skirmishes known to some as the Whiskered War.
That's something that you know that somebody like at CNN came up with and were like, this is fucking gold, and you have to say it every day.
The Whiskered War.
Some executive was like, see the thing I said.
World War Whiskers doesn't have Whisker the same ring.
Wars. Since submitting for pact protections and being granted temporary injunction against further aggression from the Vesk, the Parliament has voted to open trade lines with Absalom Station and invited several companies from the pact into Polonus as a means of strengthening political and economic bonds between the pact worlds and the former Vesk 6 planet. Whether these legislative moves will end up forcing a future vote on pact membership or backfire for the local population is still unknown, as several vested parties within both the Vescarium and the pact planets warn that moving too quickly in these dark times might invite reaction for either side, fraying both long-standing treaties and alliances that have lasted over 30 years.
Sounds like anti-Vesk propaganda to me.
Yeah.
Your article is written by, obviously, a Polonus sympathizer, Russo Usig, but you gotta read the title because this is my favorite part of
I thought that was part of the previous thing. Polonus Provincial Parliament predicts pact protections by Broso Usig.
It is old peas. All
old
right.
Peas.
Rebecca or Tyler, what?
I'll read.
Rebecca's got the next.
She's a lot of pressure.
Doot, 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 doot. Yeah. Yeah, so much pressure. Talking on a podcast and everyone expects you to talk.
Then four people are listening too, and there are six people on this call.
Oh no, you gave me a really long one. All right.
It looks like it. Yeah, four paragraphs. My gosh.
All right. Drift Lanes No Longer Safe from Piracy by Zilmiar Vesaltrum Hesus Zef Joss of Clan Niv. That's quite a name. The most dangerous lanes of travel through packed space have often been the rocky asteroids of the diaspora. The asteroid belt has been home to raiders, the remnants of the corpse fleet, as well as the pirates under the Free Captains. In order to offset some of the dangers of the diasporan travel, the use of drift engines traveling between the inner packed worlds and the outer giant planets has become standard for many agencies and corporations. That strategy, though, might need to be reevaluated in the year 325. Several starship crews have reported to authorities that their cargo or starships themselves have been attacked mid-drift travel by a pirate whom they have learned is called the Silver Spike. Little is known about this marauder, save he seems to have the capability to track vessels within the drift along with his pirate crew, as several vessels have been attacked while in that dimension. Speculation as to the origin of Silver Spike range from a magical metallic dragon from Triaxis who is able to travel the drift via magical means without a navcom. Others say that the Silver Spike pirates are just so numerous that they are getting lucky with the vastness of the drift with what to outsiders looks like coordinated attacks. Authorities have yet to put out any information about these attacks, but are urging caution while traveling via sunlight engines or drift travel through the diaspora. The stewards have gone proactive and placed a bounty of 10,000 credits on the safe capture of Silver Spike and his crew.
Last and least.
We got to keep an eye out for these pirates, y'all. They might
we can make a lot of money.
And there's a lot of money in pirate hunting.
I mean, I don't know. That's like 2,000 credits each. You just got 500 for just walking around, basically. It's much more dangerous to go after a whole pirate armada.
Could be a lot more fun, though.
Tyler, are you ready to read one?
Or do you want me to? You can do it. It's up to you.
I can read it. I can try.
Here you go.
Yeah, he can read. Don't tell him he can't read.
I've never confirmed that, so I didn't want to assume.
Lucardus looks at it and says, Eox transport vessel damaged in extremis attack. Oh, that sounds a little heavy for me. Bruce, could you read this for me?
How dare you, Tyler? I offered to read it as me.
He got you.
I offered to read it as Patrick. Scanning into your brain, you will hear this in your voice. Beep, boop, beep. No, indeed, you get a bullet points of the information. It seems indeed to be a article about the destruction of your shuttle by a corpse fleet extremist attack. And yeah, he goes on to say, after the destruction of the Empire of Bones 8 years ago, then the flagship of the Rebel Undead Corpse Fleet, they've been categorically scattered to the wind, and sightings have persisted in the diaspora while concentrated attacks have been logged in the stewards' reports from the region. But if this attack on a harmless transport vessel is any indication, then perhaps our period of peace after the destruction of their leader, Admiral Saravox, has come to an end. Eox has tightened travel restrictions to the planet, setting up additional checkpoints in the wake of this attack and grounding space travel. Sources within the undead hegemony have pointed to the celebration of Zo Productions' anniversary and increased living tourism as points of concern in the upcoming months after this brutal attack. Not that brutal. You guys are alive. So, I mean, how bad could it have been?
So bad.
I almost died multiple times, but... You know.
Yeah. Any points of interest in the paper there you think worth pointing out as you all come down stairs into a common living area in this suburban multifamily home and maybe see on the table even more gift baskets waiting for you? These cosmetic ones are full of skin lotions and scale oils and fur moisturizers and things like that. Anything you want to chat about? It does not. It does not name you by name in the paper. It's going down with that shuttle.
Yeah, we. This was our big chance to be famous, but we.
We should have died, and then they would have had to have printed our name.
Then they have to print your name when you if you die. If only one of us would have died, probably they would have printed all our names.
Bruce would really survive by his best friend, Lagardus Sprout. Or no, what was the name of the pirate? The stinky, no, the gang member that he picked up, Jasm. Jasm McClintock was 28 years old, survived by five cool dudes. Now he's back on the ship just chilling with Captain Concierge. They're having a blast. I'm sure it will be its own standalone episode at some point. Light Jasm FM.
Question, the article that I read about the piracy that was happening in drift travel.
Yes.
Right? Is that what happened to us? Because we were overtaken by pirates at the beginning of the adventure?
Yeah, I don't know if you got out of the folks that were under that captain, if she worked for the Silver Spike. You killed her pretty quickly. I don't even remember.
I guess my question is, like, were we in the midst of drift travel when we were overtaken, or was that different circumstances?
I don't think so. Well, you could have been, but once again, they stole on board your vessel. They weren't so much pirates as they were brigands, I think.
Okay. No.
Tyler, what's like the land pirates? Fine line
between pirates and brigands, yes.
The land pirates are buccaneers.
Buccaneers. I think they were closer to buccaneers because they just stole on board the ship from port and were hijacking it mid.
I see. Mid-ship. Okay. So probably unrelated to this. Okay.
Yeah, probably. But maybe they were under the same free captain. You don't know. Maybe this Silver Spike has gone up in the world. But spoiler warning, if you guys are having diaspora adventures, oh, you're gonna have some pirates in there. That's just par for course.
Are you saying this is all foreshadowing?
Or Corpse Fleet. It's one or the other or both. It has to be.
Or so much it's just important for your media diet to read a variety of news sources. He's just trying to make sure that we're getting a varied media diet.
I mean, that's a fair point, Jabert.
Tavra only listens to Vesk News Network.
She listens to VPR.
The only news I can trust.
It's like, oh man, the The Vest-6 is still not communicating with us right now.
Boy.
they must love us so much they can't even they don't even have the words to say how much they love
us. Can't put it into words how much they love us.
Yeah, they'll be back. Right, so as you guys are chatting up about the news since you've been out of communication in the Atrashkin shelf, reading all these happenings and the hubbub. Indeed, there's a knock on your villa's door, and the undead media ghoul liaison, Zasha Kavir, who you met the previous day, who helped you into the halls of the living, comes in holding yet another fruit basket. This one with all kinds of mixed nuts and, well, I would say perfectly ripe, if not, you know, going over a little bit, Castravelian and even some ancient Galarian kind of fruits, apples and bananas.
It's
rare.
It's ripe, but like you better eat it right now.
Yeah, this is not like
until like tomorrow. It's like it's not gonna be good.
But leave it to the Oxians to be in love with fruit that's about to to rot and stuff.
And they're like, no, you need to give it 3 more days.
So beautiful. So beautiful when it dies. Hello, Nova Rush crew. Just a few more presents here from fans at the network. I trust that your sleep states were restful and uneventful, darlings. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, it was. These are lovely accommodations. We thank you very much. Any word on when we'll be needed again? Or
today, oh. Dearies, of course. Oh, you guys, yeah. No, you're the hot ticket today, which means we have a full schedule of media outlet interviews about your trek across the Atrashkin Shelf, the shuttle attack. You know what? Your crew, your starship, your transit to this planet. There's some more meetings with the lawyers to go over the contracts. But first things first, sweetums, today, well, today's your day. The big guy himself wants to meet you all. And he doesn't okay every talent signing, but he said he wanted to meet you all especially and invited you to his personal office, too. Not many people have seen this place.
And lived to tell the tale.
No.
Get it?
He doesn't kill people. That's such a crazy rumor that was spread. We didn't say that. There have been disappearances, for sure, but no one has officially been listed as victims of homicide. Let's put it that way, legally.
Technically?
It's like Disney World. Like, no one's ever died in Disney World. Technically, they get pronounced second they leave the premises.
They've got an oubliette that's called not Disney that they just drop people down. There are trap doors all over the park that can shove you down a hole or you're pronounced dead.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, you all should be honored that Zoe has given you such, well, notice. He's taken notice of you. So, yeah, when you're ready, boy, howdy, we'll head on up there and we'll get you all situated in his office.
Oh, boy, can I get a montage where I get my hair done? And I've got like all like some ribbons in my fur.
Yeah, I mean, she's willing to help you out with open up some of these gift baskets, and there's all kinds of sweet smelling fur conditioners and hair ties and clips. Those are things that people use with hair, right?
Yeah.
And sounds like I'm completely bald, but I've just like never put a thing in my hair before, minus a hat. Yeah, hair clips, right? Yeah, that you can see a dog wearing a hair clip.
Woof woof.
I feel like
I've definitely
animal rights would have like, please don't do that to your dog. PCA will get on me. Yeah, you know, she as you guys are heading through the lots, you indeed realize you are on like a stage street. So there's like productions filming as you head out of this suburban neighborhood into the greater studio.
Horse that like keeps changing colors every time you look at it.
I just imagine there's a lot of reality TV going on here. And as she's leading you, you know, around the cameras, so you're not getting put on tape here, Zasha says, you know, if Zoe takes interest in you all, you might be able to ask them for favors, Bubbles. You know, you came all this way to Eox to find a living Alebrian, is that right?
Oh yeah, if the Zoe is so powerful, surely he can grant my friend a heart
and me some courage.
Yeah,
and me a brain.
And get rid of Ulithal's smell.
That's right.
Hey.
And I'm just trying to off this old lady called Mrs. Gulch, who keeps trying to chop my head off at the sheriff's office.
And your little dog too, Bruce. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of you mentioned to her that you were looking for a living Alebrian, so perhaps that is a surprise to you, but do you pry about that at all?
Yeah, I note how I guess just if we're walking around, I'll be like, you know, I don't know if it's a sensitive subject, but it's a rude thing for me to note, but you don't see too many living Alebrians these days, do you?
No.
Not so much around these parts.
There are not too many living Alebrians left, let alone those that, well, off-worlders would have access to, but Zoe has quite a few under his payroll. Oh, yes, he does, dears. Quite a few.
I would love to hear their tales, because they've been around longer than any of us.
Well, no, I mean...
longer than any of us, but I mean, maybe you got. I don't know how old you are. You don't look a day over 800.
As you mentioned, living Alebrians are just like living beings. Like they have like a normal lifespan.
Oh,
the undead are the ones that have been around for thousands of years.
That's fair.
Living Alebrians are probably very closely akin to humans. Maybe slightly. Wait,
do they have big heads too?
They do.
There you go. News you can use, everybody. Big heads.
Look at these big heads.
Keep a lookout for big heads.
Wait, physically big heads or just terrible egos?
Both. Both. Yes. Oh. But look out for one, you'll find the other.
You said. Well, you guys I already showed you. You already met a living Alebrian who was not. She's like getting married. She was like, I'm not doing anything with you weirdos that are talking to me. So you've already seen
there was the one actress who seemed like interested, but like also not.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So where's her character art? Oh, yeah. Hey, she kind of has a big head here. Shoop. Oh, yeah, look at that snog.
She's got a pretty noggin. Big. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't look like as weird as like the undead ones, but okay. So they actually look
right, it's not like full cone head.
Well, no, she's got that crown that covers up the dome.
But you don't know it's that, from the enormous crane.
Right. That crown has like a 3-foot diameter or something.
It's putting in work.
If you dyed her skin blue, she would look like the opera singer from the Fifth Element.
I was thinking Plava Laguna. Okay. Yeah, so Wasasha grins. She stops as you enter into a long hallway of movie and television posters adorning the walls here. She stops in front of a set of heavy-looking wooden doors and puts in a digital code and kind of scans her wrist. And on the front, you see what looks like a golden star with a large laughing skull on top of it. Perhaps you can identify as the crest of Zoe himself. As I've said, I think we can help each other out here, but first you do need to speak with the boss, so wait here and I will go tell Zoe that you all are ready for. She opens up to these doors to a plush office. Rectangular, not super large, it's not cavernous, it is maybe 30 by 20 feet, somewhere in that neighborhood. No. Yeah, no, 30 by like 60 feet. So it's about twice as long as it is wide. There's chairs in an L shape along the wall that you enter in on the eastern half of this. The southern side of this room has dozens of vid screens covering the walls. There's a simple computer station at a kind of wall-mounted desk along with There's a pot of steaming hot, shade-grown Polonian roast coffee that seems to be effusing this smell into this room, along with some disposable paper cups and, you know, obviously sugars from all over the universe, black milk, as well as boring white milk. Ugh. Behind the desk is a hovering luxury chair floating off the ground. And before and behind the desk are bright shag carpets resting on the floor. Big purple and a big green, believe it or not. The most famous colors in all of the universe. There are many framed photographs on the desk facing outwards towards guest. Many of them are like digital frames that are like cycling through Zoe, like hugging celebrities and like at charity events, getting keys to cities and what have you. There is a Zoe bobblehead on the desk as well. This one looks like a one of one golden bobblehead, very expensive looking bobblehead. But yeah, indeed, one picture frame seems to be pointed the other way, like just at the person sitting at the desk. Yeah, as you're allowed to get in here, sit down, maybe grab some coffee, Wazasha leaves and allows you guys to relax for a little bit in this very nice office. And what would you guys like to do?
I'm gonna see what books. I'm gonna read the titles of the books on some of the walls.
But okay, I don't think I said the word book one time in there.
Every office has got books.
Oh, he's a TV mogul.
All right, he is anti-book. All right, I read his TVs on the walls.
If someone is reading a book, that person ain't watching reality television. I guarantee it.
That's fair point.
Oh. No, I take pictures
of myself. I take selfies like in his office. He'll appreciate that.
As you look at the screens, indeed, you can hear very faintly. Maybe some of them seem to have audio turned down to like the bare minimum. So there's like a murmur coming off the wall. And if you focus in on one of them, they seem to be live feeds, video productions of shows being shot like currently. So this is like raw footage from cameras, both like main cameras, behind the scene cameras. Indeed, this seems to be a hub for what looks like dozens, if not over 100 different shows in production at the same time. Oh, how else are you guys spending your time here?
Can I sneak a peek at the photo frame that is facing the person sitting at the desk?
Yeah, are you moving behind the desk to get there? Are you grabbing it from the front side?
I'm not going to touch it. I'm just going to lean my head over and see if I can sneak a peek.
Yes. Yes, you can. But as you do, there's a warbling sound. How does Zoom like that noise, Drew?
You know, it was fine. It was actually okay. Yeah.
My goodness. Great.
Kind of surprised.
Yeah, excellent. And guess what? Every monster you fight from now on is going to make that noise. Indeed, as you step forward to the green shag carpet, it burbles like a babbling brook underneath you and launches off the ground. I'll just take us to a map real quick. Believe it or not. Believe it or not, the green and purple carpet's part of the map. I didn't make that up.
Never mind. I see it. Sorry.
Yeah. Let's roll into the initiative turn order.
I can't select my avatar.
Oh, no. We got to fight the carpet. Gotta fight the rug.
Can't select your avatar. That's not good.
I have an old one off to the side that I can select, but I can't select the one that's on the green rug.
What are you?
Yeah, I'm in the same position.
Sorry, I made some new ones here.
Oh, okay.
Give me 1 minute. Yeah. We'll try to
fix. Hey, I'll give you two.
Hey, guys, remember desks. Remember desks, you know.
No.
The true enemy.
Oh, it was the bobblehead that made the bop blah, 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 blah sound.
I bet.
That's the sound that bobbleheads make.
Doop, doop, doop. Sorry, I don't have this controlled by your characters. It would make so much sense if that was the case. Gotta fix these all later as well. Great. Grand. Oh, I love doing this. I love doing this. Roll 20. Whoop. 30 more seconds. Holy thaw, it's controlled by. Nope. Holy thaw is controlled by. Holy thaw, there we go. Cardus is controlled by. Look, Cardus. All right, there we go. Go ahead and roll into the initiative turn order. Doot, 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 doot. Ugh.
Y'all, for Easter, I got these s'more crunch popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever see them, they're good. Should good.
Nice.
I'm going to eat this whole bag.
Check it out. I get, I'm always super like into like the hard sugary popcorns, like caramel corn. Like, I mean, I can do it occasionally, but like if I go to like a popcorn shop, I'm like, ooh, that flavor sounds awesome. And then when I pop the popcorn in my mouth and it's like just a hard candy shell, I'm like, oh, uh-huh. Man.
So my favorite is cheddar mixed with caramel. And you get the best of both worlds.
It's very good.
I thought that would be terrible, but we got a bunch of popcorn for like a niece's softball fundraiser, like so much. Jabert had a whole bunch of it over at my house, I think, over the course of several weeks. And I thought, like, cheddar and caramel, that's going to be disgusting. It was not that bad. It's not that bad. I definitely, eating through it would be like, more in a caramel mood right now. Let's pick around some of these cheese ones. But
I think Trader Joe's sold it to me as Chicago style or whatever. But anyways, delicious.
That's what you do when you don't know what you're working with. You just call it Chicago style. Yeah, and Chicago. Hope
for the best. Right. Yeah. Chicago's doing Atlanta. It.
Oh, I'm going to put an entire salad on my hot dog. It's Chicago style.
Miles, go ahead and roll initiative.
You fixed it. All right, cool.
Should be.
Yeah.
Should be. Oh, you guys have rolled pretty well, and you've rolled in turn order. I didn't have to move this around at all. Way to go.
You're welcome.
Oh, wait, and does it do it automatically? Because it was last. Maybe they made that change because I was like, wow, this has happened a few times. Right, so rising off of the ground is this what looked like a shag carpet a moment ago. It is now some kind of flying alien creature that kind of flaps its carpeted wings up off the ground. Let me just show you what we're dealing with here.
Oh my gosh.
They didn't give it some like dumb name like Shagadelic, did they?
I will. You know what? Whoever pronounces this name the best and first, maybe you get a hero point right now because
Alfombre.
It's
Well, I have it's three, wild. So I can't go higher. So
go for it, Miles. Go for it.
Where is
in the Discord? I'll put it in the roll 20 as well.
Reculobitus. Nope, that's not it.
Nope.
Rectum buttopus.
Reculobitus.
What do you say, Jabert?
Rectum buttopus. Oh, yeah. You guys all never heard of a rectum buttopus?
So far, that's the winner, but. Anybody else want to try?
Of course, I think it's Reculobuttopus.
Reculobuttopus.
I think the emphasis is in the wrong place. It's Reculobuttopus.
I think it's closer to that. I think that it's like a lob in there. But I don't know what. I don't know what we're going for.
Reculobuttopus. Part of me wants to give it like the Japanese SU ending. So it's like Reculobuttopus.
Right.
What about two of them? Reculaba tapuses.
Tie. No, it's I.
Well, the author of this adventure seems to, or whoever made this creature, I should say, has pluralized it as P-U-S-E-S.
Oh, yeah. That's so annoying.
I want to say it's like, no, because it's like, because the plus refers to like a Greek word and not a Latin word. We're used to the U.S. in referring to a Latin word, but in
just
the Greek
like
it would be like Antipodes or something. You know, I don't know, whatever. Yeah,
I hate that too.
Rectum buttop.
pussies.
Whoa!
You just want to say pussies. That's what
Recto,
you want to say.
Well, butt pussies.
I know what you're doing, Jabert.
I'm asking about the plural because indeed the purple carpet indeed also.
Oh gosh, off the recto butt pussies are everywhere.
This story is to be continued on the next episode of Cosmic Crit. You've been listening to the Cosmic Crit podcast. The Starfinder role-playing game and its adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and used with permission.